Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
It's me, Fonzie, and I'm here to drop a Fonzie scheme on you.
Oh. That sounds wow. Like a euphemism for pooping.
I know. I'm not the first person to say Fonzie scheme, but we were talking about it the other day, and I just said Fonzie scheme, and it cracked me up.
Because what does a Fonzie scheme consist of, you think?
A Fonzie scheme consists of, like... Fonzie goes to Arnold's, mm-hmm. and he tells Pinky Tuscadero that he's going to take her out on Friday night. But then he goes and he tells Shirley Feeney.
They had the best names on that show, by the way.
He's going to take her out on Friday night. Hmm. And then he calls back to Pinky Tuscadero. I don't know.
And then somehow he ends up with Ralph Mouth.
But he ends up with Ralph
Mouth. I like what you put together there.
I love Fonzie, and I love schemes.
Yeah.
And I love words that rhyme.
Call all those ladies up with all those nickels he's saving from the jukebox.
That's right.
True.
Ultimately, that's what he's trying to do.
And save as many nickels as possible.
He can update his office in the bathroom.
Could Fonzie hit any vending machine of any sort and get what he wanted?
Yeah, he was a wizard.
Yeah. That's his one superpower?
People don't even know.
I would love for him to be part of the MCU.
Fozzie was Gandalf.
Yeah,
where Fozzie, he... Fozzie. Fozzie was Gandalf. Fonzie is Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And...
Who's Merlin?
And Merlin is Gabrielle Sartaris.
Oh.
I thought it was Carteris.
That's what I said.
Remember the little guy who could dance real good on that show, on Happy Days? And they kind of tried to give him a...
Pat Morita?
Weezer?
Nah, the little kind of brutish, muscly guy. He was like a fire plug.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he was Fonzie's buddy. And they, buddy. We're getting way off, I guess.
All right, Grandpa's.
Here.
Anyway, it's Kelly.
Hi!
Welcome back.
I'm back.
We're so happy to have you back.
Thanks.
Yes, we are.
There's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you.
Oh.
Thank you.
Isn't that a song? What is that song?
It's exactly what you just said. Was that Mr. Big? It was. If it wasn't Mr. Big, it was Mr. Big adjacent.
Mr. Large. Who want to eat with you,
Monsieur Large.
Monsieur Large. It's not a living podcast. Fairy tales.
Ooh.
And my foot better.
Hell yeah!
It's a regular fairy tale.
I came back.
It was a happy ending.
It was like Cinderella. Except the shoe that fit me was a rocker panel, a rocker sole shoe with inserts.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sexy!
Yeah.
Is that what those are called? Rocker soles?
It's the shoes that the ones on these are.
Yeah.
Because it's like a rounded thing. It's supposed to take pressure off, so it moves your foot. Like yeah. It actually takes some getting used to.
Huh.
But
I was thinking of the boot.
No.
Is the boot just called the boot?
The boot is called Fuck That Shit.
Yeah.
Throw it away. Yeah. Which is kind of what I said to them when it was official. I was like, can you throw that away?
Can you fuck
Were you
that
like,
shit?
I can only play Frankenstein's monster so many times before this gets old?
Yeah. I was like that.
It was extreme, by the way, that hole in my heart can only be filled.
Oh, extreme.
Oh yeah, extreme.
Yeah, because they all
triple X.
More than words, extreme.
My mom, can I tell you a quick story? Can I
Please.
Do a quick aside? My mom loved More Than Words, loved yeah. extreme.
It's a pretty
Is she
song.
An extremist?
Well, she was. My mom, for staunch JW, she loved her rock and roll.
Yeah.
And so my buddy Dave owned the Extreme CD.
Yeah.
You know, he liked rock and roll of all kinds. And she bought that off of him for $10.
Yeah.
And would listen to it all day. And she would blast it. And if you came down the street, my mom would open the door while she would be cleaning.
Yeah.
And she would crank the stereo to its, like, its maximum.
To 11.
She would dance around the living room. And she would be dancing to Susie Wants Her All Day Sucker. Susie Wants Her All Day What? That's the next line.
Yeah.
And it's all about sucking dick. And she would just be jamming. And I don't know that she... I don't think she put it together.
I love your mom.
You hope she did.
No, I don't think she did.
Are you cool if, like, what if she did?
But I'd be fine with that.
Do you want to entertain that idea?
I'm totally fine with it. I know people... When you say, my parents don't know about those things, people are like, oh, they do. Mine really didn't. Yeah. Like, they really didn't. Like, they were sweet summer children. Oh. I'm not saying they didn't have any knowledge of the sex, but I think it was... I think it
was clearly because they had two children.
I think it was pretty much just to themselves. So I don't think she had any clue what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Then she'd be singing it.
Susie wants all day soccer.
Did you giggle to yourself when she would do that?
I would giggle out loud.
Yeah.
And she but did like, you know it was at that time that it was what an all day sucker was?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you did?
Oh, well, yeah. I was like 15, 16. I was right there.
I like but I still feel like pops. I still feel like those kind of things, like an all-day sucker.
Yeah,
I knew what oral sex was.
Yeah,
but that didn't necessarily mean I knew what the metaphor was.
Ah,
I see what I'm saying.
I get it.
Like brown eye girl. I don't believe that one, but
I'm sure that's not the case.
No,
you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I guess I could figure it out now. But yeah. I would have never.
I mean, I saw like a wave of innocence go over Mike's face. Followed by a wave of harsh realization.
Don't worry. Brown Eyed Girl is not about
yes.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I've got love in my tummy.
Now, that one for sure is.
Yeah.
Like, that band at the time, they all of their songs
is
were...
Is that what a Love and Spoonful is?
I don't know about Love and Spoonful.
Oh, those are one.
Dear.
But it might be.
Who knows?
But certainly...
You're
that was 1910 Fruit Gum
boundaries
Street.
Boundaries are crumbling.
That did that. And I think they did Chewy Chewy. And they might have done 1, 2, 3 Red Light, which is all about date rape.
No.
Oh, it is. It's not even really. It's like every time I try to move to love you, 1, 2, 3 Red Light, you stop me. Stop the game. You've got too much to lose. Too much to lose. If you stop me again, that's where we might end. That's a real song from the 60s.
Although, why are we shocked? I mean...
I'm not shocked. You guys are shocked.
You know my testicles might explode. That's the course. We should have known.
Part parental.
Do you know that it can kill a guy?
But certainly yummy, yummy.
Yeah. Which the Archie and the Jughead Band or whatever performed
the Archies.
That. Archies, yeah.
Archie and the Jughead Band.
On the
band.
Cartoon, like they would be like, yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy. I just blew Jughead's mind.
Mm-hmm. Glad it was his mind. Or am I? I just, okay, well, let's just test the panel of metaphor experts out here.
Yeah.
What's Darling Nikki about?
Oh,
well,
it's exactly what it says.
I was about to say, that one, there's no metaphors at all in that song. It's pretty blatantly about him meeting a really kinky girl.
Yeah. It's the same girl from Super Freak.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, then, isn't Turning Japanese?
Yes.
That's about masturbating.
Yeah. That one I think I picked up on pretty quick.
Sugar Walls.
She-bop.
She-bop
is real obvious.
Yeah.
I heard
my ding-a-ling.
I brought that one up because I just heard a story on Throwing Shade, great podcast, but... They were talking about the whole thing with Tipper Gord and like the anti, you know, music and music labels was started because her daughter bought the Prince album with Little Nicky on it.
Darling Nicky.
And Darling
Little Nicky was
like, I've been masturbating with a magazine. But she saw her daughter bought that and tried to return it to the store, and they wouldn't return it because they said, you'd already listened to the song. And
you already listened to it.
We already experienced
You've already
shit.
Had the music. We can't and take
so,
it back.
So basically, she white woman Cole's. Like oh, return
she,
rage.
Oh yeah, she's like, I'd like to see the manager
like, music
of the know. Country.
Yeah, and they uncovered that she actually was a drummer in bands. Like she actually drummed with Grateful Dead for a little while.
Tipsy.
Yeah. Tipper Gordon?
Yes. It blew my mind, too.
Oh, I used to work with this woman that was just a hardcore Jesus freak, loved Trump and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, back in the day, she was, like, her husband was, like, her ex was, like, the guitarist on Black Betty.
Yeah, ooh,
Black Betty. Like, she toured with them. She used to smoke pot with, like, she used to tell me stories about other, like, rock guys. I don't remember any of the stories. Like,
rock guys, you know, like, you know, that, she, like, what was his name? Mick.
Motorcycles.
Mick Bowie.
And, like, just, like, the whole, like, hippie, like, do whatever I want scene. And now it's like, but Jesus.
You know what I think?
That happens a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Sad.
I think people who, in some respect, might lack some self-control find it by becoming super religious, because it enforces some kind of control into their life that they wouldn't normally bring upon themselves.
I've heard that story so many times.
So basically, yeah. They found Stryper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I used to love Stryper.
Oh, until you knew?
Well, I mean, I knew what it was, but, like, at the same time, like,
I knew what it was.
Ready to hell with the devil.
And I kept doing it anyway. Because I just thought, I loved how over the top the whole thing was. Mm-hmm. Like, my whole life, I've loved, like, over the top, any type of over the top entertainment at all.
Yes.
And I was just like, I don't even care. I'm going to listen to this, even though it's, like, incredibly tacky Christian mm-hmm. metal.
I had a friend.
You learned how to arm wrestle because of how much you love Over the Top?
Yeah. I do love Over the Top. And I did learn to go over the top from Over the Top.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had a cousin, not a friend, a cousin, who I had a cassette, and I didn't realize it until later, but he was giving me a cassette because I had gotten, like, my first, like, Sony Walkman, and it had a whole bunch of Stryper on it because it was there to, you know.
Propagandize,
but it was great music. And that video,
yeah.
Remember when they were in the Bumblebee costumes?
Yeah, and they all looked like they had, like, almost like race car outfits all the time.
Yes.
It was very Iron Maiden look, the look, great. And everything. I think it was supposed to get the kids who were into Iron Maiden,
yeah,
like try to steal them away from Eddie.
I almost bought an Iron Maiden shirt the other day.
Yeah,
but they didn't have one in 2X.
That's a bummer, dude.
It was super bummer. It was at Meijer.
What?
Yeah,
yeah. Is it Meijer?
Do you feel like
the grocery store?
Yeah, I was super bummed out.
Does that weird you out a little bit at any point when you're like, "What if a Cannibal Corpse shirt like shows up at Walgreens in 10 years?"
I'd love it. I'd be so excited. Like, finally, I can buy this at a store I'm in.
Yeah, eating back to life. Look, honey, right here.
I hate when I find out that something that I thought was normal turns out to be Christian music.
Like that Katy Perry mm-hmm. song?
Which one?
What?
No, it. She was just sued by a Christian rap group for stealing some of their music from a song.
Oh. No, but that...
Dark Horse.
Oh, Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Weird. Mm.
That song about the comic book company.
Yep.
There's a song by that Sixpence None the Richer that I liked, and I thought it was about
Kiss Me.
Sex. No, it's Breathe. And then I found out they were Christian-y, and then I listened to it again, and I was like, this ruins this for me, because they're not talking about doing it. They're
Can
talking
I tell
about
you?
God.
That's why one of the reasons I don't like to know anything about the artists. Like, it very rarely enhances my experience.
Agreed. And, I don't try to find out.
Yeah, it just happens.
It
yeah.
does. Like, I'm with you. I yeah. don't need to know anything about
Unless
them.
They're like an old blues musician. Because those guys always, like, you're always like, holy shit, their life was completely fucking insane.
Yeah.
But then, like, but contemporary artists, like, celebrities in general, like actors, I know about an actor, the less I enjoy watching them.
I agree with that.
Except for Oprah.
I don't need to know.
I had a stint in seminary. Where those kinds of artists, it was like always a big deal. They would pass out these things of like, if a person likes this artist, get them to try Lifehouse.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like a concerted effort.
Yeah.
And most
of those artists were literally trying to duplicate, you know, the exact sound of those other artists. Like, they were replacement artists. That was their kind of mission whatever.
It's happening
Lifehouse
now.
Makes great blue cheese dressing, though.
Yeah. Do you watch the Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj?
No, should I?
It's on Netflix. It's great. It's one of the...
I flip by it a few times.
It's a comedy news show.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So many others,
great.
You know, like Samantha Bee's show and all that. But he just did a segment not that long ago about tyrannical governments co-opting popular music for the same fashion that like Christian Christian groups did in the 80s and 90s. Like, so they're like, they saw like a revolutionary kind of rap thing happening in these other, in other countries where they have these like totalitarian regimes. And so the young people were coming up with like these things, kind of protest songs type stuff. But now like the government is like paying artists to create like pro-government raps.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It is weird.
It's like,
but
cartoons back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
So we've had a couple of audio boo-boos this week we want to tell you about.
Oh yes.
patreon.com/notlp. You'll have an origins episode very soon. That one was fine. Freddie did the upsie dupsie oopsie whoopsie.
I did an oopsie. We recorded a really great, and more, we've been doing a lot of Star Wars stuff on Night of the Comic.
Deep dive.
I mean, like movies, animated shows, comic books, like really deep dive stuff. So we did an episode about like the prequels and stuff. And then we, Wednesday night, we recorded one about, we kind of got to the point where we were talking about the original trilogy and then beyond into the J.J. Abrams stuff. Fun episode, really great. Good time had by the three of us, and
well,
you will never know.
You're three good time Charlies.
Yeah, we are good time Charlies.
And Freddie forgot to turn the microphones on.
Yeah, which is, you know, I could get into the technical end of why that happened, but just know that I forgot to turn the mics on, and it's unusable.
Wait, was it a technical, or you literally forgot?
Well, this, we have an issue that's been going on since May, because the company Zoom, who makes our mixer... did
very,
not prepare.
And you're sad you asked now. Yeah. Well, that's, I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I felt the same way.
Yeah, I'm sorry I asked. Yeah. But
that's okay.
But I would just say, like, you shouldn't kill yourself. That's already disappointing that you don't have a documentation of a good conversation.
I mean, I had a great time, but I just feel bad that
Though is all I'm trying to say. There is a technical issue.
I like to blame Zoom for this.
Okay.
Because they're the reason I have this piece in the middle of my setup that I'm using while I'm waiting for them to update their firmware.
Yes. Setup,
which is funny because that's a much older piece of equipment.
This is a much older one. I plug it in, it works right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
They don't make it like that anymore.
Let me tell you.
But don't feel bad, Freddie, because I also, Amy mm-hmm. wanted us both to talk about, you were supposed to get a new High Five Happy Hour.
Also Wednesday night.
Also
that
Wednesday
night was
night.
Cursed.
It was.
We should have checked
the doors. Maybe we should it on the night.
Yeah.
Amy came over to my domicile, mine and Elise's, mm-hmm. and the three of us recorded a meandery kind of episode of High Five Happy Hour. Good, though.
We had a great time.
We had a great time. But
six people had a great time Wednesday night.
Yeah, you'll never know.
To get technical, I flipped the recording side of the mic that Amy was using to the wrong side. Mm-hmm. So it did not record Amy. It just double recorded me and Elise and our air conditioning. So
and Tess chewing on her stick.
So the tracks with Elise and I are great. It's the sound gate made it very nice. I got a nice little compression on there. We sound beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then Amy's track is
I can try to recreate it if you want.
And then you can hear
you just did.
What was that?
That was me hitting the bottle.
The bottle.
Yeah, that was me drinking.
There was quite the bubbly bottle you had.
So also, I fucked up.
We will record soon.
Yes.
You give me your avails.
I'll give you the avails. Yeah. I'll avail you of our availability.
And Freddie will obviously get the boys back together soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Bang.
That's again at patreon.com/notlp if you want to support the show. That's the best place to do it.
Yes.
You'll notice Andy's not here.
We can use your funds so I can learn how to properly mic a podcast.
Yeah, it'll be great. Andy's not here because Andy has a like a bar in the back of his neck, if you've ever met him.
And she doesn't appear in like a place.
Yeah. What'd you say?
A walk-up bar.
Andy has a bar in the back of his neck where teeny tiny little creatures go to get drunk.
That's adorable, though.
And he's shut. It's a closed for renovations right now. Yeah. There's a lot of angry little teeny tiny creatures who can't get hammered.
They can't get drunk. He apparently like snagged it today, and he's bleeding, and it's awful, and he didn't want to.
Does that hurt
bleed on
anybody
my house.
Else listening?
Just, yeah, I don't want to think about it.
I think everybody right now that hears this is thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he had to remove it. I don't know if he'll ever put it back in. So if you've seen it, then that's the nobody else shall.
Andy's bar is closed.
Yeah, closed permanently.
It was a unique piercing you don't see very often.
I've never seen it other than with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a.
He should get something else unique pierced. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a
it's
lot
not
of
that unique.
Like his big
anymore.
Toe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Amy.
Big toe switch bar.
He should get a snow pierced.
Who do you go to get that done?
He should get his tears for fears pierced.
Chris Evans does it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where Andy is. So prayers up for our boy's neck.
Damn. My neck. My back.
Just basically my neck. Any other news?
If you want to call it news, but I just wanted to say congratulations to Mike, who got to pick our final entry for the fairy tales theme we're doing. He chose Snow White, A Tale of Terror.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you very much, Michael. If you want an opportunity to pick one of the main attractions for our fun themes we do each and every month, go to notlp.com, scroll down till you see the Dracula stamp, and sign up for a mailing list there. And you will be entered in the raffle every month.
And awesome. You'll be inundated with marketing mail. Just kidding. I'm joking.
We only send an email once a month.
Also, if you don't mind, anybody who's going to Universal Studios for the Horror Nights, maybe reach out, email the show, email me, MikeyB@notlp.com, because they're just announced another one, Us. So now we're up to...
You called it Creep This Show. Is Us last night.
I did. That's why I was testing it out. I was demoing. You guys fixed it. So they were up to Universal Monsters, A Haunt, A House. They have Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Creep Show, and Us. So it's going to be a big year. They're coming at it strong. I mean, people have been like, asked why does not Universal Studios do a Universal Studios Haunt? So they're... Or Universal Monsters. That's the one I'm most excited about. But these other announcements are huge.
I hope that stays. You know,
although I think they're doing a Stranger Things again, because there was some pretty big criticism last year. So I think they're bringing it again this year.
What was criticized?
I just think people thought it was a little boring.
What was it?
Be the general consensus.
Was it Stranger Things?
Yeah, I think you were going into like the Upside Down. So
if you didn't watch Stranger Things, that wouldn't be appealing to you.
Yes.
So,
for the
Us Haunt, do you think they cast a bunch of twins?
Yes.
For the performers, did they say?
They got Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I was joking last night that it's your twin. So, you got to sign up at like 3 months in advance that you're going to be somebody. There and they're going to have to cast somebody. You got to send a picture.
And you play, at the end of it, you just play tetherball.
Yeah. Tetherball
with your twin.
With your twin. Isn't that adorable?
It's a great concept.
Yeah. Happen.
I stole that from somebody else.
It's not scary at
Thanks,
all.
Thanks, Matt. Just in case you're listening.
Oh. Good
part,
one,
the
dude.
The tetherball.
So email Mike B.
All balls.
Please do.
Tetherball.
I definitely want to get some coverage down there, and I don't think it's going to... I'm going to be heading down there, so...
Yeah, you could really use some coverage down there.
I could use some coverage down there. You just now mentioned that? I probably should. Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's inappropriate.
It's a family place. Put the mouse back in the house.
Okay.
Is there anything else we should mention before we go on?
Oh, gosh. No.
Okay.
Done it. Done a good
job.
Well,
then there you go. Awesome sauce. We'll
Nothing.
Be right back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
All right, welcome back for real this time. Okay. I watched a movie.
Oh.
It's called The Night Shifter.
Oh.
It's Brazilian.
So no hair on that.
No. disgusting.
Is it?
Freddy, what are you doing?
Shit. I did not mean to do that. I apologize.
Freddy?
Freddy's just trying to get some poontang in the 60s with song.
I was looking up 1-2-3 Red Light by 1910 Fruit Gum.
That's quite the band name.
Yeah.
Okay, Night Shifter. Really enjoyed it.
Wow.
It had a strong first part. Middle was a little like, all right, let's get somewhere.
My first car had a night shifter, and it was real difficult to use.
Sometimes you had to drive during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end, it finished strong. So,
so it's a little in the middle, but I got much back.
Got much back.
Yes!
Woo!
Today.
I feel good that that happened on the day I came back. Yeah. It was like perfect.
As it should have been. That was a God moment.
You could do the whole rap. You could be like, Entertainment Weekly says you've got a weak second act. But I'm not down with that. I'm not down with that.
So here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
We got our dude Stinho.
Stinho?
Stinho. Is a he works the night shift at the morgue.
Oh yeah,
and
like you do.
It's, you know, from what I can understand, the story being told in this movie is it's quite the violent place wherever he's at, the city.
Oh, gotcha.
Not necessarily only violent; there are landslides and stuff, but like it's a busy place. But Stinho has a little secret. He can talk to dead people.
Aww.
The way they did this was so fucking awesome and creepy. Like, he's alone in the morgue. He's got this dead body.
Why would you work in the morgue if you could talk to dead people?
It is strange,
but I feel like that would be the job I would definitely not have. Few people work at the morgue.
Well, that's to say he doesn't like talking to dead people.
Oh,
I mean, if you
true.
Do
Maybe
talk to dead
like
people, them. Then you have a specific skill set that would be pretty good.
You
for
offer
the
them something. That's so true. This first corpse that comes in... He's alone and he says, hello, you know, hey there. And the guy's
hey
like,
hey there, Dean.
The way they filmed it, the body's completely still. And I think what they did was like mapped a face onto it. So the body does not move, but the face moves.
Oh, that is creepy.
It was very creepy and very unsettling throughout the movie. So he's talking to this guy and the guy's like, is this the hospital? And he's like, no, dude, you're dead. Oh. And he's like... Nah, I need to get back to the bar. Like, this guy does not understand.
Oh, wow.
He was like a soccer hooligan.
That's a pretty good idea.
And he's like, I got these fucking other team. They stabbed him. They killed him because they were fighting. And he's like, well, can you call my wife and kids and let them know? And I mean, he does that. Stinho does that. And then there's later he's talking to like this gangbanger and he's like, Stinho's telling him things and the guy's like, how do you know all that? And he's like, because all your buddies have come through here and I've talked to them. Like, I know all these things about your gang. So that was just really interesting, the way they kind of set that up.
That's awesome.
In addition to being able to talk to dead people, Stinho has a bitch wife.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a big old cock.
Oh, I don't know. He could.
He's got a bitch wife.
He's got a... awful wife.
Yeah.
And she's just the
awful
worst.
Awful wife, awful life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls him names and tells him he's disgusting and blah 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 and you don't take care of me. And he finds out that she's not being faithful. And
does she find out from one of the dead people?
He does.
Mm. Oh, sorry, was that a twist?
Not really.
Where they're like, I banged your wife.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Well, no, not anyway. He kind of uses.
She gave me the worst case of syphilis that ever happened to me.
He's kind of a lonely guy. Like, he works this night shift. He can talk to dead people. And the only, like, human interaction he really has is his god awful wife.
Doesn't really get any lonelier than that.
And his kids are okay with him, but, you know, they're kids.
They ain't got time for all his shit.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you're cheating on me, are you? And he embarks on this. Revenge on her and her lover that spirals out of control and leads to supernatural like vengeance, and he has to kind of figure some shit out along the way.
Here's the thing, you know. If you're being cheated on, don't get revenge, just leave.
Honestly, like,
it only leads to supernatural shenanigans that are gonna come back on you.
I know it's hard to, like, in that moment, I'm sure you want to hurt that person that hurt you. I get that, but what he does and what it happens, and you're just kind of like, just walk away.
The best revenge is to be happy.
That's right. Don't be a little bitch.
Go
just
to the gym. Get your
up.
Revenge body.
Or to like fill a house with popcorn like they did in Real Genius.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good revenge.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and it's mostly harmless. I mean, hopefully you don't kill anybody when you do it.
Yeah.
William Atherton.
Mm-hmm.
Could have happened.
It's a great movie.
It is a great
movie.
Kernel
of Truth.
I don't want to say too much else, because I think this movie just does a heck of a job with that kind of effect of him talking to the dead people.
You don't want to spoil it.
No, I don't want to spoil it. It gets kind of, you know, it's like, let's move this along a little in the middle, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at the movie for that. I got a phone to keep me company, even though it's subtitled, and that was a little difficult.
You're like, I've entirely lost the thread. It's
relatively impossible.
I'm like, I can... Like, it's not, it's Portuguese, so that's a little harder for me to understand. Like, I can grasp a little bit of Spanish or, you know, like German or whatever, but what are you going to do? Don't look at me.
Just turn your phone off.
Shut the fuck up.
I had the confession, had the same thing happen, and I loved last week's movie, Live Hard, Die Young.
Oh, Die Hard, Party Young?
Yes.
No, Die Young.
Die Another Day.
Party Hard.
Party Hard. It was... subtitled.
Yeah.
And work hard,
there was a moment where I got a little bored and I went to my phone. And I'm like, oh, I will have no idea what's happening
is
if I don't
now?
Stay yeah. with it. So, yeah.
Also, for your own health, you should only have one screen at a time. That's what okay. they say.
And for also for mindfulness practice, just for doing health. One thing.
Of course.
It
of
is
course.
So hard. It is so it hard. Is really when, hard. When a movie gets boring, it's so hard not to pick up the phone. Or
well, whatever. If it's really boring, then just do one other thing then.
Yeah, or yeah.
you just pick your nose or something. Then you're still paying attention.
You're totally allowed to quit, too. If you're like, my life is not going to last forever.
That's true. What I often do. If I don't like a movie, I'm just like, you know what?
I'm going to do something else.
I'm not required to do this.
But this movie had earned my finishing it by how strong, you know, the beginning part was. And it wasn't like super boring or
you
anything.
You felt obligated
I was
to
just...
finish the movie off.
Was it the story? Was it like that they were happening to move a lot of things? Yeah. Sometimes that's when it gets
and it
tricky.
Just, like, yeah, I was
show
just like,
tell.
Let's get to where we need to go. It probably could have been a little tighter. It was kind of long. But I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. I think it's definitely worth your time. It's on Shudder.
Oh, another Shudder.
Another Shudder.
A lot of good stuff on Shudder.
I love Shudder.
Me too.
Not I'm looking forward to the Creepshow series.
Yeah.
Looks fun.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so good.
Looks fun.
So enjoy Morto now, but whatever. I can't.
This, you mean, oh, I hold on.
I'm not going to. It's okay, because I'm only going to ruin it, and people who speak Portuguese are going to be like, Jesus Christ, lady.
I think it's Morto Nial Fala.
There you go. The Night Shifter.
I think.
Nice. I like that. I mean, I think, God, like, morgues are such a fun little way to give me a creepy little
They're super fun.
Horror movie. Yeah, like Autopsy of... Jane Doe.
Yeah, you know, Autopsy of, you know, what's his name? Franklin Doe.
That TV show True Calling, sort of
Phantasm.
The same
What was the
story?
One we saw that was very much a ripoff of the Autopsy of Jane Doe, but it was still pretty good.
Oh, it was Hannah.
Oh, yeah, The Exorcism of Hannah Grace or something.
Yeah. I liked that pretty well. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it's fun.
It had sometimes the set pieces are enough to keep me interested.
Yeah, there was this moment in the movie where I guess a landslide had happened, and just they keep bringing bodies and keep bringing bodies, and he is kind of standing in this whirlwind of people and hearing them screaming, the dead bodies, and like trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like this overwhelming
cacophony.
Moment and all these like mud drenched bodies in the morgue, and it was just effective.
Yeah,
they had some good effective moments in the film.
Morgue.
Okay, so yet again
there should be a horror host named Morgan Freeman. Welcome to the morgue.
What do you have? His middle initials N?
Yeah, I am Morgan Freeman. And you are dead.
Morgan Deathchild.
Get oh nice.
Get the fuck out of here. Shake them titties.
Get busy dying. Or also get busy.
All right. So I refuse to continue with our movie GUN. So again, we have our movie Jack in the Box, and I'm cranking it. Mikey B, you're cranking it. You're cranking it. And it hasn't popped out, so pass it to Andy, who's not here.
Oh.
Andy's not here. He's cranking it from afar.
Somebody crank it for Andy.
It's still... Okay, Kelly, pass it to Kelly.
Oh, my gosh.
Pass it. Crank.
I'm cranking it.
You're fine. And Freddie. Pass it to Freddy. And it popped out on Freddy.
Did it scare you?
It's a scary clown.
Did your poop come out?
Yeah, I need to poop.
You got to wipe it up.
I got poop.
This movie comes to us as a recommend from Fozzie Bear.
Oh, Fozzie Bear.
It's called The Wicked. It's on Amazon Prime if you want to watch along.
Yuck, yuck.
Local stories warn that deep in the woods, a witch with a ravenous hunger feeds on the flesh of the young. In an abandoned house in the woods, she hunts her victim, and if you try to enter, you'll never see daylight again.
Well, that's easy. Just don't go there.
Right? So here's what he said. He says, The Wicked on Amazon Prime. Again, it's not good, but I imagine it as a better movie and ended up really enjoying it. So you're going to have to use your imagination.
Oh, I can just imagine it as a better movie?
So just when you're watching it, tell your own story.
Yeah. He also says, tell whoever gets it. So you, Freddy.
Uh-huh.
Be on the lookout for the PA trying to hide in the background during one scene in The Witch's Lair. And he caught it.
Okay.
So. It's like the kid from Three Men and a Baby, the dead ghost kid.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, The Wicked.
The Wicked.
We'll have that for you next week. Anything else before we move on?
Defying gravity.
Oh, I'm glad you did it.
Yeah, were you thinking it?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of a way to do it, but I don't really know the song, so.
Mm-hmm. Popular. That is that show, right?
Yeah. Mike, why are you asking me?
Because you love Wicked.
Oh.
Because you gay.
You're all a bunch of musical weirdos.
Can I use my phone a friend?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, who do you want to call?
Popular, you were correct.
A gay guy, I guess.
You had it.
I tried to read Wicked. What a terrible book.
Is it?
Yeah, and I don't like musicals, so I'm not in.
Oh, Amy.
For this game. Hmm.
But you know, you do like musicals. You don't like certain musicals. You love Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I do love Rocky Horror Picture Show. I do too.
It's my favorite musical.
Can you name another one?
You like Book of Mormon, didn't you?
It was okay.
Didn't you? What about South Park, the movie?
I liked South Park, the movie.
It's a musical.
And was it? There was another musical you saw not that long ago that you
liked White Christmas.
You like Mermaid, the Little.
That's true.
You like all Disney movies.
That's true.
Those are all musicals.
I think you like musicals.
I think you're full of shit is what we're all ganging
gotcha
up on
journalism with Mikey B.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like Hollow Man?
Is that how I said it?
We'll be right back.
This week's main attraction is the Academy Award winning, which is rare for anything in the fantasy sci-fi genre.
Yeah.
Unless it's Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro, Best Picture, 2017, The Shape of Water, starring Sally Hawkins as... Is it Eliza? Or
Eliza.
Lisa, Eliza?
She from the Godzilla movies, too.
Esposito. And Octavia Spencer is her buddy, Zelda. And then Michael Shannon is our baddie. Doug Jones, who we love, Amphibian
Dougie
Man.
Fresh.
Dougie Fresh Jones. Mm-hmm. And Richard Jenkins is Sally's neighbor, almost like a brother-sister relationship in a lot of ways. Giles. Or Giles. I can't remember.
Giles.
I can't remember how anything's pronounced in this movie now.
Oh, my Lord.
I love Octavia Spencer.
She's
how,
great.
Though, did she become old-timey black lady? Like, every time they need to make a movie in the 50s.
She's a period piece actress.
Yeah, like, I feel like
I didn't think about that at all.
I feel like
they were
pushing her into that niche.
You know what part
else?
Of it? She
There's
looks
the help. She's in that space
But she was
movie,
also
I
in
think.
Hidden Figures, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I feel like
I
I've
seen
her
I
in
seen
other things
yet.
Playing that same role, too.
Yeah, she was. She looks
make
great
that money, girl.
In yeah. those costumes.
No, she yeah, does. She
that
she
might
nails
be part
it.
Of it.
She's got a very classic look.
Yeah, and she's
I love
great.
Her.
I love her and everything. I just feel like they. I'm just like, oh
yeah. She's also in future period pieces like Snowpiercer.
Yeah, is she in that?
Yeah,
nice.
In,
so this
in
she's
present
been in
day
both
period
moms.
Pieces.
Ma. Everything's a period piece. There's pieces of period everywhere.
Mm, piece of period, piece of Jupiter.
If a lady's in it, it's a period piece. Am I right?
You're hilarious.
We're always bleeding from our vajayjays.
Dating is hard. When you look back on this Arrow film, Octavia Spencer's going to be one of those people who is a genre superstar.
Agreed. Agreed.
Like you, when you look back at, you know, Peter Cushing, like we were talking about him, like if she keeps making these and she chooses projects that are great, like she has such a good sense. Like, I don't know if it's her, her agent, somebody is making great decisions for her.
She got great face.
Yeah. And she's beautiful. She's awesome. And she's just really talented and great.
Very charismatic.
And now I love Sally Hawkins. I didn't know. This is the first thing, maybe. She was in the Godzilla movie?
Yeah. Well, but both the new Godzilla movies.
Really?
Godzilla and King of the Monsters, yeah.
That's so funny. Like, I didn't piece that together.
She plays Ken Watanabe's, assistant. I can't think of the character's name at the moment.
Really?
I can't think of his character's name at the moment either, because mostly I'm just watching the monsters. But yeah, she is. She's vastly different in that movie.
Yeah. Speaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, this, in case you've been living under a rock, this is real quick from IMDb, because that's the easiest way to do this. At a top secret research facility in the 1960s, a lonely janitor, that would be Eliza, forms a unique relationship, I'd say, with an amphibious creature, Doug Jones,
basically
that is being held
one.
In captivity.
Actually, more of the creature from the Black Lagoon, but...
Yeah, what did you say first?
A deep one.
Oh, yeah.
It does remind me... Have you ever read Alan Moore's Neonomicon?
Yeah.
Did it remind you a little bit of that?
I could see, yeah. Because,
like a less horrific version of that? Like the sweet version of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Neonomicon is unsettling.
It's super unsettling. But it's
so good, though.
But, like, I really think there had to be a little bit, because if you look at the facility in Neonomicon and this facility,
I did not think about
there's some similarities. The design of the creature is a little similar.
I think that's just maybe parallel thinking.
I get it. And I'm not saying he took any inspiration from it, but there are some startling similarities and in the theme as well.
Yeah, true.
As well.
Although that was
I didn't have any sympathy for the creature in Neonomicon.
I think I did.
Yeah.
Towards the end, after it was like this cult is using, like,
had a big old dick though.
It did.
Yeah.
It did, but they were using
apparently,
it for their own purposes.
One did too.
And the
like
woman,
Mr. Manhattan,
she developed a lot like that.
In case you're wondering, Neonomicon is a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's
a Lovecrafty.
Yeah. Alan.
It's Alan Moore. Yeah.
And it's probably I think the most extreme thing he's written, in my opinion.
Other than Lost Girl. Lost Girls is pretty fucking extreme.
I have not read that.
Oof.
Yeah.
Did you know, according to IMDb trivia, Sally Hawkins was an extra in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, while attending drama school?
Well, good for her.
That's what I call pod racing.
She's part of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Good old Sally Hawkins.
So I had reservations about this movie. I never really cared to see it, because everybody's just like, it's so beautiful, and then, like, it's a fairy tale, and it's very, like... poetic, and that's just not my usual style of movie.
Amy hates beauty and poetry, is what she's saying.
I am just a genre bitch. Like, I want movies that are the things that I like, like action or horror or like great adventure movies. I don't like dramas and shit like that. I'm not interested usually.
Yeah.
So I rarely see many Oscar nominated movies, because I'm what is the word? Fucking
basic?
Stupid and basic.
Me too. Yeah. Mostly.
Me too, mostly.
I am glad I saw this movie, because I do like Guillermo del Toro. I swear to God, these dogs.
Did you like Pan's Labyrinth?
Millie's upset because Millie's an art house bitch.
She is. She's mad at me right now.
I mean, that's a lot of the same similar fairy tale.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Freddy, get off that hog.
Okay, sorry about that. The dogs seem to have calmed down, and we'll get back to our discussion of The Shape of Water. I don't remember where we were.
You were saying that you don't like anything good.
I don't like anything good, but I do like Guillermo del Toro, and I did enjoy the movie, The Shape of Water.
Yeah, I think this one...
Didn't tickle everything on me.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, you know what, Amy? I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, it left me a little cold. In some ways.
But we'll get to that, because I want to put out there before I reveal my personal opinion. I had this built up. I actually expected to like first of all, I want to put out there, I do like this movie a lot. It is beautiful, and there's a lot of good things happening. I love all the performances, but I think I thought it was going to be I thought it was going to do more for me than it actually ended up doing.
Yeah.
But anyway, continue.
Yes. So what do we got here? We got this
So you mean like synopsis wise?
Well, I mean, we don't have to super synopsize. We don't usually do that anymore, but Fishman.
Yeah. from the Amazon, Michael Shannon's character is this jack of all trades for the military. You get the impression he's just sent off on these tough assignments, and he is almost got the mentality of like a Scientologist, where he's like, anything I wrap my head around, I'm just going to get it done.
He's a psychopath.
He is, And does anyone else feel like, at least in this, that Michael Shannon is like evil Bill Hader?
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. I was thinking, watching this, I was like, man, it's a shame that they didn't get a chance to spoof this on SNL with Bill Hader.
Yeah, he's like tough Bill Hader.
Yeah.
I love Michael Shannon.
Me too.
I do too.
I love his face.
So this is Richard Strickland is the character, and the general who is, that is the guy from Justified, right?
Yeah, you don't want to know anything about him.
Art?
Yeah.
Do you want to know something about Art?
I don't.
Art loves Trump. Loves Trump.
I said I don't.
Libtards suck.
Remember what we said earlier? We don't want to
know
these things.
But I have to tell you, because that broke my heart, because I like Art too.
Yeah. You're not allowed to break everyone else's heart just because. That's just wrong.
Fuck that guy.
So General Hoyt comes in. He's really the guy in charge. Five-star general.
Yeah.
They have this facility, and they keep referring to this asset they've brought in from the Amazon.
Which, again, I very much love. I feel like there's... I think some people theorize that this was like an Abe Sapien origin story. It's not.
Right.
But I do feel like he kind of took some shades of the BPRD. I think you're supposed to think, what else is in that place, you know?
Yeah,
this is the riskiest of all, or you know, the of all of our assets,
yeah,
or the most dangerous, they said. So you're like, what else they got in there?
Yeah, it also has a little bit of Cabin in the Woods,
for sure. Oh, for sure, especially because Richard Jenkins is in the fucking movie.
I know, and they have a guy who looks a lot like Bradley Whitford.
Yes, they do. I thought the same thing.
Oh shit,
for just a second I was like, that's not. And it's not.
From a distance, the guy looked just like him.
Yeah.
And you keep getting told in that, I mean, Octavia Spencer keeps saying, what is going on in this place?
Yeah.
Like, they keep the cleaning people, like, keep, like, you know, insinuating that they know stuff's going on, but they don't really know all the story.
Even though they've worked there, it seems like they've been there for, like, 10 years, right? It's kind of what they established.
And also, it doesn't seem like they try to keep them out of any, like, you know, throughout the movie.
They see them as, well, this is also, it's a Cold War movie. Because it's about the space race, where this is prior to, they've had Sputnik and everything, and the Russians have sent the pooch out and all that stuff, and I think a chimp at this point, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And but they haven't had a manned space mission yet,
right?
And the reason they have the creature is that it's an amphibian creature. They want to know if they can create, they can learn to basically have men breathe in space.
Exactly.
So, but the whole time you have this double agent Russian scientist who's working directly with this organization, and also working with the Russians to kind of keep tabs on what's going on, how far along the Americans are with this. But that's how they disappear. Like, I'm speaking to the point you made, Kelly, that these two cleaning ladies disappear.
Yeah.
Because they're
not... don't notice them.
They're not power players. They have no stakes in this.
And all of those kind of... those military types and scientists, they don't really see them as people.
Right.
So much machismo going on. It's like it doesn't, doesn't even register.
Like, even when it's kind of obvious, like, he just dismisses them completely.
There's this incredible commentary, I think, that runs through this about a lot of the disenfranchised people, whether it's, you know, her neighbor who's, you know, gay and sees himself as a freak, or her who doesn't speak and he's basically telling her he's a freak. Some of the creepiest things is how he speaks to her and just totally dehumanizes her as a human being. In the scene in the bathroom, I thought was really telling on that, when he comes in and they're basically cleaning the bathroom, and he comes in and makes them both incredibly uncomfortable by urinating basically in front of them, and doesn't care because they are not. They're totally dehuman. Which also is what's awesome, is that the comeuppances is these unhuman people are the people who truly did outsmart you. You're talking like Russian spies and all these other great things. That's what I really love about this film, is that go ahead and totally make them less than, because then they'll show you that they're actually smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about underestimating those two, for sure.
Like, can you just pee with your hands on your hips, not holding your wiener wanger?
A lot of dudes do that.
And I do. I guess if you got a big,
it's a,
big one.
It's a, I think it's a real really? Stance.
They
I
hold, think, they hang down.
I was about to say, I think you know. Have to have like a super tiny acorn penis that for it to be able to like not piss all over your pants.
I've never, I've never been, I've never been able to do that.
The Superman. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I would think. It's yeah.
Well, hold there's guys who put wiener. Their hands up and they palm. They do it like
they do. They palm the wall
like so it lifts it up a little.
Like the police.
I always thought
are,
that wasn't like yeah. you're drunk and you're doing like
oh that too.
Hit on your forehead that's and just kind of leaning.
But
the
guy
wall
with both when they have both hands up.
Well, some
I've
dudes might have the like
yeah I have
you know the gasoline can where it kind of like yeah. arches you know
yeah.
Maybe it doesn't do this, it's this.
I mean, I've yeah. certainly seen, I've seen Freddy pee, and I understand the mechanics of it, but I still just find it so strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in there just hands on hips.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you're pissing on your pants.
Probably.
Anyway, it really,
sometimes it's
what
hard
was the
to.
Hand washing thing?
Did so he washes before he pees, and real men don't wash after.
No, because
he
said, it shows a weakness of character.
He said you don't do both.
Yeah.
He said you wash before, you wash after, but somebody who does both is some kind of bitch.
He had a weakness of character.
And the idea, yeah. I think, there is that he's making sure he's clean.
Yeah.
And could care less. Like, he's so
not
clean
else, yeah.
that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's
he
not going to put your
after.
Germs
he's
on
so
his dick.
Above it that yeah. he can cleanse himself to make sure he's clean. Yeah. And then
I didn't get, see, I'm glad you said that because I didn't read into it. That
whole
way.
Thing was a posturing. It
yeah.
was
but
like,
yeah.
I am in command. I am in charge.
Well, those fucking weirdo germaphobes out there in the world, like just littering the world with your toilet seat covers and your extra fucking. Paper towels
mm-hmm.
and just making the world gross and disgusting and pissing all over the seat because you're hovering and then you just leave us all to deal with your bullshit.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Not to mention that he lays his tool on the sink in front of them.
Not his wiener. It's an actual cattle prod kind of thing.
Yeah, which is the first inkling you get that this guy who seems a bit like an asshole, but he's friendly enough. Like, but when you see the cattle prod and you realize that he's like, hey, I've had some, trust me, this thing we brought in, I've had to wrestle with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
then it bites his fucking fingers off.
Which is a great moment. A great shot in the movie. One of my favorite moments is when he comes into the hallway and kind of goes to his knees, like platoon style.
Yeah.
He's bleeding. That is a really neat moment. And they reattach his fingers because... Eliza finds them while they're cleaning up, which is a very comical scene.
It is.
And she throws
puts
them in a
bag.
Lunch bag.
Yeah.
With mustard.
Yeah. And then the fingers kind of become this ticking time bomb in the background as the movie progresses from there.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of also, you know, not to get like all philosophical, but I'm sure there's some symbolism in like the rot of the character,
mm-hmm.
like well, as his fingers become black,
and then he just finally pulls
oh,
off.
Oh god,
that's a great moment too,
and shows his true, you know.
Yeah,
I so can sometimes just be a little bit, I guess, accused of pulling out the metaphor a little bit too much. But really, if he had had a contact with the creature, his fingers would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like the crazy part of it is that to me is like the irony is that this creature has these abilities that would have healed his fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
He needed the creature.
Like, yeah.
Just you couldn't. Catch more fingers with honey.
You do.
You do. With-
But just to be clear, his pussy finger was fine. Just in case you were worried.
That's such a classic. You know, every movie should have the line pussy finger in it at some point.
Every movie? Yeah. Paddington? Starring Sally Hawkins?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Was Sally Hawkins in Paddington?
Yeah,
is that her
Paddington
too?
1 and 2.
Yeah,
that's
like,
her!
She's like, Paddington, do you have your pussy finger? And he's like... Yes, Mom, I've got me pussy finger.
I love the Paddington movies.
I'm a little
bad.
I do. I
the
love,
second one's really good, too.
I haven't seen the second one. I really enjoyed the first one, though.
Anyways, pussy
you know,
finger.
I've been craving marmalade since that and still have not satiated that need.
Have you ever had orange marmalade?
It's great. I have. I
it's
love
good.
Marmalade.
Yeah, I
and
like
every
it,
time
too.
I think about Winnie the Pooh, I need a marmalade sandwich.
Oh, God!
It's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
God!
You don't like marmalade?
No, I was just joking, because like you guys are talking about pussy fingers and marmalade.
Pussy
I'm
fingers.
Just marmalade.
Pussy
I'm,
finger marmalade.
I know
you're not talking.
One.
Yes.
There's been a big gap in pussy finger because you have Saturday Night Fever, 1970, I can't remember.
Yeah, 75, something like that.
To now. It's you just, have like a 40-year pussy finger
how
gap.
Do you not know there isn't more pussy finger
Elise,
out there.
Elise made that same observation, by the way.
Yeah, it's a memorable line.
Yeah, she said, I wonder if anything else has said pussy finger other than Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
All right, listener, you know what
to
do.
There was a wagon in Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah, there was a wagon. There was no pussy finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta know the difference.
So, Eliza. I want to talk about Eliza.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like very like sad. I mean, she seems happy enough.
She loves to jerk it.
But that's what.
Oh yeah, she just batters her clam every morning. It's like the opening to Dexter.
Yeah.
You get the scene in the beginning. You're just not expecting it. You're like, she's getting ready in the morning or evening. I guess she works overnight and getting like, you know, the bath ready and getting her eggs a-boiling and getting her egg timer out and just boom, 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 boom. It's just you get this moment where you're just like, what is happening? You know,
I think it's to show that she's a sexual being.
And that's fine. And I get it. But it was just, it felt unexpected with what I thought this movie was. I knew that there was fish man sex.
You're like, I thought this was a fairy tale.
Well,
and the sexuality in this movie is portrayed all throughout as dangerous, because you like look at the gay man who lives next door, and he thinks he's making connection with the guy at the pie shop, and then just does it something as subtle as grabbing his arm.
Yeah,
we had an experience with that a couple weeks ago at the on the subway. Gets kicked out of the bar, and you see that. I mean, the metaphor really gets continued when the two, you know, the black people comes up to the counter and then they're sent. He's like, you can't sit here and you can't sit here, and it's kind of becomes a violent scene. So sexuality is always dangerous. So that's makes sense.
Except for her, like I think Eliza is like
she's so gentle.
Well, also
except for when she's going to town on her.
I love that because one. Who doesn't? And
her, it's not a shameful thing.
It's joyful.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything she does is she's very much like Amelie.
I got a lot of Amelie.
Yeah. I think masturbation is beautiful and wonderful, and we all should be doing it anytime we can.
Yeah,
I'm doing it right now. Me too. You want to touch each other's penises?
Let's do it.
I'm just saying, it was a jarring moment. I understand that I'm a prude, and I understand that I'm a little different than most people. And
that you don't beat your clam every morning?
Correct. Take baths.
I think it's jarring for a reason, because if you look at it later when the whatever his name is, Michael Shannon's character.
Yeah, Strickland.
Yeah, is sexual. He's putting his sexual. He basically calls her a freak and says he's into it.
Yeah.
And he wants her to make one of the worst lines in that freaking movie. Yeah. I want you to make those noises that a person like you would make.
He wants to make her squawk.
But when she's in her space, which is water, she can go to, I mean, it's her safe space to be able to express her sexuality. So I think that's why it is jarring, is because she's in a safe space and she can do what she wants to do there.
Yeah. Of course. It just.
I think Amy's more like, because of the drama of her leg draped over the side of the tub and.
No.
She's making a mess.
Yes. You're it's got to be all, and then mildew will form.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a jarring moment. What I thought was a different movie.
And he was like, I didn't know they were going to be a bunch of pussy in there more.
you know what was a jarring moment for me?
Yeah.
Was when they made that peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Why? Oh, because of the jars. You're good at what you do,
Thank you. I just put it there and let you guys come to it.
But this
I
is
went 90%, let you come the other 10%.
10% come. Yep. Hey, Kelly? This is the kind of movie that could have a scene of someone making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I know.
Because Guillermo del Toro would be like, I have a vision of this. It's going to be the most beautiful PB&J scene.
And it would be.
So the eggs. Yeah. There's lots of eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every morning she makes eggs for breakfast.
And then she starts to bring them to the fish man.
Which is another little shout out, I think, to Abe Sapien, because he eats those little eggs in the Hellboy movies. Well, at least in the first one.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, hot damn.
But again, it's a different creature. It's not Abe Sapien.
But it is Doug Jones playing both.
But it is Doug Jones.
We should point out, yeah.
Well, Doug Jones plays every character in every year.
He also really likes eggs.
Yes. Yeah. He loves them.
She's drawn to the fish man because I think you find out, you know, throughout the movie why.
He's got that huge wang.
And that too. opens like a barn door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the pitchfork comes out.
Yeah.
Which,
yes.
Again, Octavia Spencer being a great actor sells that.
Yeah.
Because in Lesser Hands.
The reveal of how his wiener works?
Yeah. She's like, huh. Good but not too much. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I'm not into it, but okay, cool. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
There you but go. Like, fuck that fish, man.
Yeah. Like, just the description of me, I'm like, kind of like, that's real scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be super judgy if somebody told me that their wing was like that. I'd be scared. I'd be like, Octavia was like,
I fucked this thing.
Yeah.
You want to know how?
Yeah.
It's belly opened and its pecker fell out.
It's got a three hole.
And then it went back in. And now it's all smooth again.
It's like telling somebody like you're, she's so open, like you're telling somebody about your kinks and you're just wondering like, are they going to judge that?
Eliza and Zelda are one character in a lot of respects. That they have a symbiosis
well,
with
yeah,
each other.
Well, yeah, because she's always speaking for her.
She speaks for her. They take care of each other in a yeah. really sweet way.
They do.
More so Zelda taking care of Eliza, but yeah. I do feel like there is a certain power
they get
that
each
they have
other.
Together.
They yeah. truly get each other.
Yeah.
You know, again, Zelda has no voice, but
Eliza has created a family around herself yeah. that keeps her safe.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
Of marginalized people.
Of marginalized yeah. people, absolutely. Yeah. And there's that this connection all throughout that film for with that, which I did love this film, and I think that it's that piece of like the power to the marginalized and the power to, you know, just that connection.
Yeah. And something else about this was I felt kind of the way Amy and Kelly are saying, like, I expected to be completely blown away on my first viewing of this, and I wasn't. I really enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, oh my God, this is a life-changing thing. Like, and I can't, and I was like, best picture, that's so crazy. And then I stewed on it, and I watched some of the extra content of the making of, and now I love it.
Yeah.
And I want to go back and watch it again with the eyes of looking for the things I know are there now.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And I think I get now, okay, it is a masterpiece and it's not something you just watch once and then you're like, oh yeah, that was an interesting movie. It's one of those things where you watch it once to get this basic story out of the way and you watch it again to see like what they did with set design in particular.
That will, and yeah. I'm 100% like, I did really like it. Like I think, and especially all of the work that went into creating it, I think I even without being as emotionally moved as I thought maybe I was going to be, I could still see it winning Best Picture just based on the originality of the story, the set design,
were great,
the performances, even the like it felt like a. At first, I was kind of like, this is very Tim Burton-y, but Guillermo del Toro actually has more of a. He has an eye to filming that Tim Burton keeps everything, I feel like, kind of small mm-hmm. and focused, and he has like a more epic eye. So he has that kind of like Tim Burton suburban 50s, mm-hmm. you know, this kind of outsider yeah. art, but like with this big Hollywood mm-hmm. lens.
Well, also, like you're saying, Tim Burton, it's like as I've started drawing. You know,
yes.
Tim Burton is the guy drawing with a big Sharpie.
Exactly.
You get the basic outline of something. It's really funky and fun.
Right. Very crafty.
Yeah. And crafty and just unique. But I think Del Toro is the guy who creates something you can walk into it. It exists. I was shocked that those were sets that they built and yeah. not old buildings that mm-hmm. they found somewhere.
Yeah.
But like when you see how they built this, the adjoining apartments that,
yeah.
That Eliza and,
Giles
live in, they're neighbors and they share this window, this, hemisphere
yeah.
window that the detail of that and the way they make everything look, especially in her apartment, like it is underwater and waterlogged and mm-hmm. everything. It's just, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. again, to like that distinction too, I think, Guillermo del Toro really does a great job with actually showing you the horrifying. I don't think Tim Burton really.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But he can keep still for the thing that I love about his signature is he can show you something horrifying and still keep it whimsical.
Agreed.
Like you can still want to see what's terrifying, where I think Tim Burton more is going to keep is more on the whimsy side of scary.
Yeah, I agree.
Dark.
I think you're exactly right. I think Tim Burton is more Adam's Family. You know, he yes. wants to be cute with dark stuff, whereas Guillermo del Toro, I think, understands horror and beauty and kind of likes the beauty in real horror.
Yeah.
I think a good example of that is a scene where the creature eats the cat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Poor cat.
I love how understanding Richard Jenkins' character
yeah.
you know, is like, he ate Pandora. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
That
I didn't know any better.
That I was worried like he was gonna be scared and angry at him.
Yeah,
I'm like, this poor little fish man, he didn't
and
know.
He hurt and he hurts him like runs by and accidentally hurts him like a cat can sometimes do to you.
Well, Giles is so full of compassion that he can't stand it, and they you get that out of that character earlier in the film when he likes to watch they watch movies together, Eliza and Giles. That's their thing. They watch musicals together. Musicals, Amy.
God damn it.
And they...
mean my favorite genre?
Yeah. Zelda. Eliza changes the channel to the news one night, and they're showing the riots and...
Civil rights movement.
Unrest,
stuff. Yeah,
like people being sprayed with fire hoses and all this stuff. And he can't even... He doesn't want to see it.
See, I don't... I'm a lot like him.
Yeah.
I know it exists, and it's so much that I can't handle seeing it sometimes.
Yeah, you want to see the beauty in the world. That's you don't want to see the
Yeah,
the
like, I'm never going to watch 12 Years a Slave. I already know how heartbreaking that is. To see it is only going to hurt me.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know what I mean? That's why I don't really like dramas and, like, these war movies and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah, you don't want to...
I've never seen a 9/11 movie.
It's like, too much. It's like an open wound.
Yeah.
I get that.
But I think that what makes him in this movie is sometimes seeing that horror breaks your heart open so that you can actually... The heart gets bigger. Like, he expands and goes out of his comfort zone. He says he's terrified.
Yeah.
And doesn't want her to tell him that he... In that moment when they're planning the rescue mission of the creature... She needs his help, and he blows him totally off.
Yeah, that's a great moment. Well,
yes, but he goes on into he goes to the this pie shop and experiences true horror. His heart's broken because he thinks he's about ready to give his heart over to this guy who he thinks is into him or thinks is going to enjoy the approach, and he has his heart broken there. But then also has his heart broken when the people come up to the counter and are sent away. His heart gets broke by having to see it. I believe he's a good man, and she tells him that. She's like, you are a good man. But when he's called to action and has to do this terrifying thing, it's not until his heart is broken and he sees it that he can actually expand into going, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm in it. I'm going to go through all this. I'm going to put my life on the line because it's that important. And I think that's... I'm not saying you're wrong about the 12 Years a Slave piece of it. I just think that it's that expansion of the heart that it's required to be broken to expand sometimes.
And then there's some real craftsmanship in the storytelling because you have this interesting mirror. It's so important that Del Toro made Giles this commercial artist.
Yeah.
Because what he – and he's in the old school of painting instead as photography is becoming more popular for these magazine ads.
It's actually kind of an analog to now where, you know, everything is photoshopped.
Right.
And there's just – you know, there's not necessarily a lot of artisans that are working.
But more so, like, counter – that's a great point, but, like, his character actually represents the Photoshop kind of – ideal where he is creating because his life he's creating the life he wants to see in these paintings. There's the perfect family,
right,
and all this. And Michael Shannon's character Strickland, he has the reality of what Giles is painting every day.
Right,
the Norman
he's
Rockwell
living
family,
that and they it mirrors it even the green jello it turns up in Strickland's actual house at one point. He wants you to connect.
Oh, the green jello was the big key there.
And once it goes on to his green car, which he says he doesn't like until people are like, that's really an awesome car.
Yeah, but specifically the connection between Giles and Strickland is this world that he's creating in this advertisement he's working on is the world Strickland's living in, which he's miserable.
Right.
And he's reading like the Power of Positive Thinking. He is trying to, he's trying to create it in reality. The Giles Richard Jenkins character is creating it for this ad agency. That's what he's selling. And the whole time he wants to ignore reality and create this perfect thing. And the big turn that you're talking about, Mike, is that confrontation when, where he says Eliza comes to him for help to help the creature escape. And he basically says he's not even human. And she signs back to him, if we don't help, neither are we.
Yeah.
And that's like that moment, I think, for him, too, that leads up to the scene you're talking about where he goes back to the diner.
Right.
where he connects all that, and he's like, I can create, I can fill my life with musicals and these paintings and my surrounded in my safe place in my house, but I'm not truly part of this world and making it better if I'm not confronting these things.
Right. And I think there's a, that when he tells the guy, like, you don't need to talk to them. Like, I feel like that was like him, like, stepping into that, like taking a step towards being assertive and being, you know what I'm saying, interacting with something scary.
Yeah.
Whereas he could have just been quiet and watch it happen.
Right.
You know.
And that's, and I think also him being rejected over and over again by the ad company, which you kind of, do you get the impression that those two were like a couple at one point?
I do, but like you can tell there's some alcoholism or yeah, something that led to it got bad. But yeah, I did catch a little bit of this. But I do, again, I love the metaphor there of that's the dehumanize. When you dehumanize me and you take that away, then I can actually will find power in that to rehuman. Everybody deserves that opportunity. And I think that message, like, I'm not going to get political, maybe, I don't know, but I think that message is so important now because of how important it is that every single person needs to be treated as a human, or they rise up, and sometimes they don't do that in a healthy way.
Yeah,
yeah.
You undermine you take somebody's humanity away, and that's the worst thing that you can do to a person. And I love this story, this fairy tale, because really the fairy tale here is that I will get my humanity one way or another. Like, I will get it. And then, and they do this in such a way that I don't know. To me, it was just incredibly powerful. And especially right now, like, if you haven't seen this movie, especially right now, I think that's really important to key into that message.
Again, to take it to kind of a political place, like, we're kind of in a cold war right now, a little bit again with Russia in a lot of ways. And Dimitri, right?
Dimitri, yeah.
He's part of these Russians that are there in Baltimore, like, and they have these clandestine meetings with Code, which is playful, the kind of old spy movie Code stuff. And they're, one of the guys is kind of a bumbling guy, one of the thug kind of characters. And but Dr. Bob, at first, you think he's part of like the evil empire kind of thing, but he turns out also
to
be
a decent person. Yeah,
he's a good person.
Mm-hmm. He recognizes it's wrong to kill this being. He ends up helping.
Right. So it's all about like pushing past the reality we create. Like for all these characters, it's about them seeing truth. Like Giles is living in a kind of a fantasy. The only one who really is living her life moment to moment is Eliza, because she's beating the clam every morning. She's using her duck brush and cleaning her shoes. Yeah. Everything she does is a joy, including her job.
I thought the duck brush was another metaphor, but never mind. I remember it now. She has a duck brush. I remember it now.
She, like, her routine, she loves her routine. She smiles through her routine, like Amelie. Mm-hmm. And she's
not in a disingenuous way.
No, she has what is most people would consider the worst job.
Yeah,
but she's happy to go. She still shows up late every day, but it's no big deal. You know what I mean? She's just living her life, and everyone else is creating some sort of false to the point. And I think the Dr. Bob represents the ultimate in that he's literally living two lives.
Mm-hmm. Octavia Spencer's character again. She says when this whole thing is starting to blow up, she's like, I can't lie. Don't make me lie. The only person I'm good with lying to is my husband, because in order to have a marriage that works, you've got to be really good at that.
Yeah.
Which I think is sad on her part. And you find out later, I mean, when the husband does step into that role, that, you know, maybe it's not the best world that she's created either, but yeah.
Her husband's a dick.
Yeah.
I love Dr. Bob.
Well, I could argument for that too, because he was trying to save her
life
when he did when he gave the horrible information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
feel like he's in his own
people are complicated.
From the safety of your living room. What a dick.
He's a dick.
Yeah. He was a dick in the way he talked to her before before the crisis happened.
I don't like the way he was treating Zelda.
Yeah. I get it. I agree.
What were you going to say, Cal?
I love Dr. Bob for the fact that even though he's in this precarious situation, he kind of always is always assertive of his, like,
I'm a doctor.
Like with strict. Well, that's a great. I feel like there's this again. Yeah. If you're looking at kind of the different functions of all the characters, like I feel like he's kind of their strength guy. You know what I mean? Like the kind of they can draw, like they get this help. And this is a character who, even though this Michael Shannon's character is like very scary and kind of intimidates everyone around him, he's like, I'm not intimidated by you. You're going to call me doctor.
They're I like that. He throws it back in his face because earlier... Strickland really busted him down by making him knock.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Even then too, like he tells Strickland, like, do not kill, you are not to kill that thing. Like he doesn't ask or request. Mm-hmm. He gives him an order. And I just kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
It's awesome.
So Fishman is some sort of supernatural being.
He's the creature from Black Lagoon, I think. I mean, they found him in the Amazon.
He has definitely been he was worshipped as a god down there.
Yeah.
Because if we find out that he has healing abilities.
And he may actually be a god.
Yeah, he may.
Hyaling.
Hyaling.
Which is one of another great moment. The death of Strickland scene there.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal himself because he gets shot a few times and gets back up and makes some shit happen. And he's going back into the ocean because he has to leave because the police and Strickland and all that, like, they're taking him back to the water. And Eliza doesn't want to leave him. This is somebody that she got some good dick from. And
one who made
do you like fish dicks?
Who made?
And she's starting to be able to make noises. She's starting to be able to talk. Like,
oh yeah,
that's not real. That's a dream sequence.
Oh,
it's a fantasy because.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, there's two fantasy
the dancing?
Sections in the movie.
I mean, I knew they weren't really dancing.
Well, yeah.
In real life.
But the fantasy of her
being
underwater in the beginning, that's a dream.
Right.
And then this is her internal. She wants to tell the creature all these things, but because when you hear her start kind of sounds like she's speaking and doing this stuff, it's all, she's just, that's all happening in her mind.
Well, she's signing that. The musical.
Yeah.
Right?
She was watching. Yeah, she was going back musical, to the musical that she was watching earlier.
The big song in that film. I don't remember.
It was You'll Never Know How Much
You'll
I
Never
Love
Know.
You.
And that's what she starts to sign. And
then she starts
kinda,
singing.
It moves right into that singing point. Because you know that too, because when Octavia Spencer is like Zelda, right? That's her character's name. Mm-hmm. Zelda is like, make a noise on the phone. I think you're almost kind of.
She taps on it.
She taps on it. I think you're almost like led to set you back that there wasn't. Yeah. There was not a. Oh,
okay. Yeah, she can't.
Yeah.
So it's this grand like climax of the movie, and you know Michael Shannon's there being a real piece of work, hurting everybody in his path. Shoots Eliza, shoots the Fishman, but Fishman gets up.
Tortures Dr. Bob. Yeah.
Tortures Dr. Bob.
Oh, that what he does to Dr. Bob is real shitty, huh?
Yeah,
real bad.
Not good.
When he hooks his finger through his cheek.
Yeah.
Like a fish,
yeah,
which is another just great thing thematically.
I guess that was an awful thing to do, but yeah, right.
And then he drags him over, and then he's digging in his guts and all that stuff.
I do now. This is not a complaint, but I do wish there had been a scene with the creature getting angry and like having sort of a Dr. Zoidberg where spines come up out of his back, just like a, you know. A show
there's a
of,
tiny bit of that, but not little, not the dramatic.
Ridge.
Yeah,
I was waiting for the, yeah. I was like,
a favorite
do a thing where he's like, you know.
I don't think you get that for another run of those reasons of that, you know, this whole metaphor of the movie is because like Dr. Bob has this awesome moment where even though he's tortured, he's been like literally fish hooked by this guy. His satisfaction comes from actually saying it's the help.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
It's the help, and he laughs.
Yeah,
I mean, in his dying breath, is just to laugh and be like, "You freaking fool!"
Yeah,
on Game of Thrones, tell Cersei it was me.
Tell Cersei it was the janitor.
It was the janitors. He takes Eliza's body. They jump into the canal, and she has fucking gills.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the whole time I thought that the scratches on her throat were gonna be gills.
Oh, you did?
I didn't. I had that moment when he rubbed her on under the water. He rubbed her gills under the water, and I was like, I should have figured that out because they show it a couple times. Well, the scratches on her neck.
It's kind of a Lovecrafty thing because again, you know, he is a fan of Lovecraft, and I think there's definitely some deep one stuff happening here too. And so, like Innsmouth people. They've, you know, throughout all that stuff, a lot of them will have they talk about like these rough looking patches on their skin around their necks, and it's really they're developing gills.
It's so funny to think that he can make this so sweet, and these characters so lovable. And when I think of the deep ones from Lovecraft,
well, they're horrible.
It's just horrifying.
Well, it's like he took that kind of idea and flipped it on its head.
Yeah. Well, Octavia Spencer says earlier in the movie when she and Eliza are talking to Strickland, like, she's an orphan. She was found by the river.
Yeah.
And left there alone. So it's possible she's of this.
Oh, I'm sure that's what he was
looking
for.
She's this breed.
She's a hybrid, like an Innsmouth hybrid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of us, as we're developing in the womb, we have gills for a period of time.
Did you know?
It's why she likes to masturbate in the bath.
Yep.
You know, that's why her last name is Esposito. Like, I didn't know this. I just learned it. But, like, it means exposed. And they would give that name to foundlings.
I did not know.
So the last name Esposito meant we found this child. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Did you watch the making of documentary?
Yeah, I've watched most of the extras. There's a couple of things I haven't watched.
Was that on iTunes?
If you bought the movie on Apple Movies, or if you have the Blu-ray or whatever, the extras are really, really great.
I think the Esther was the first one to share that if I'm remembering correctly, I think we had a conversation about this. She loves this movie, and she was saying that the extras added a whole nother dimension to it.
Yeah,
I think I'm kept quoting her right.
So now I got to watch it again. And I got to watch Amelie again now. Because have you watched Amelie, Amy?
Yeah, I didn't care for
it. You didn't like it?
I don't think. I don't remember. But just from...
It makes me want to lay down on the floor.
I know. I have I don't know.
All right.
What is wrong with me?
Nothing's wrong with you. You just have different tastes. Yeah. Some people like hard-boiled eggs.
I love a hard-boiled egg.
Some people love masturbating.
Like tossed salads.
Some people like horrible key lime pie, and some people eat it to get laid.
He didn't actually eat it. Kept it all in his refrigerator.
I know.
It was the wrong color.
It was not really key. It was like green jello, the green jello. It wasn't really key lime pie. No. It was like a green jello in a pie crust, which I could see in the 60s. You ever feel like in the 60s they were able to really pass off some horrible food?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, because people didn't no one knew that all this stuff was bad and processed. Like, no one had, it was just new stuff.
Michael Shannon knew.
Well, of course.
That was even addressed. Strickland talking about the cheap candy.
Yeah.
And how much he loved the cheap candy.
Yeah. And he bites into it when he's anxious.
Yeah.
Is it like people who lived in the 60s is where fruitcake still gets a bad rep? Because it was just garbage then. But I feel like now it's probably not that way.
I've had really good fruitcake.
Yeah, but we didn't live in the 60s.
But I would never try it as a kid because everybody talked about how you re-gift it and how gross it was if you got it at the holidays.
Same thing with meatloaf for me. Cake.
I've had really good fruitcake.
God, I love meatloaf.
I love meatloaf, as a kid, I remember always hearing meatloaf. Yeah. Or remember you can't do that on television? They would always make a big deal. Oh, meatloaf, what?
I hated meatloaf when I was a kid.
I hated meatloaf too as a kid, but it's because my mom didn't make good meatloaf.
Yeah, there's not like a...
She was too busy jamming out to
she was good with all day suckers.
Metal.
Yeah.
She made a good all day sucker.
She did.
Yeah.
All right.
But I do, before we go, I do love the, again, I love sort of some of the implications behind the story. Like, again, I love the idea, even though Michael Shannon's character is a horrible monster, I love the idea that this is someone that they sent out to capture a monster. You know what I mean? I love that the idea that, how did they hear about this thing in the Amazon? You know what I mean? There's
they had been apparently you would think there had to be a number of teams,
reports and teams and stories about things that they've sent people out to find out about. I like sort of the implication again of a sort of BPRD kind of segment of the government.
Mm-hmm. And that the general moment that really, the only thing that actually I think scared Michael Shannon was when the general told him that if he does not succeed at this mission, he'll disappear.
That was a great speech.
He has one mistake.
It was a real great way to see him get dressed down too. This character who kind of almost sees himself in almost this weirdly godlike way to get dressed down by his superior and be like, "We'll make you disappear. We'll unname you."
Yeah, and even more than that, in a way, it's sad because you realize these guys are technically war heroes. They talk about these battles they've been through together, and that's why they work together.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, "I gave my whole life to you. I can't make one mistake."
Right. Yeah.
And as much of a villain as he is, and you want to see him be punished, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, this guy is miserable. He's made himself, his life is miserable. He's created this entire scaffolding that holds up every little thing in his life, and he makes it because it's like it doesn't matter. That's why you should forgive people.
But he's got such a horny wife; he should complain.
And his wife got a great titty. Remember, she pulled that titty out.
I remember.
The part about that scene, though, that it's so great, isn't that he created it?
Yeah.
It was that he was sold it.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
He says, "I just want to be a good man."
Yeah,
I don't think I'm this quote. I really, really would like to rewatch the scene because after I watched, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I just want to be a good man." He's like, "We've spent, you know, it doesn't matter that you're a good man. We've spent our whole life selling being a good man. You need to get this
right.
And if you don't, I don't even think he says if you don't. He just says tomorrow you're gone."
Yeah,
and he knows he has to go get it right, and that almost repowers the monster. But it's because he's been sold this. What does it mean to be
right?
I don't even know that it's good. It's just to be a man.
Yeah, well, yeah. They even have that kind of a similar exchange with Dr. Bob and his superior.
Yeah,
where he's like, you know, there's no principles involved on either side. Where he says, we don't care about getting into space. We just got to make sure the Americans
don't. They can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the duality of both things, where it's like, we told you that this makes you a good man, but honestly, that those kind of ideologies don't matter. What matters is what you fucking do for us.
Right.
And that's it. That's all that matters is what you do for us. You can make up whatever you want in your head about why you do it or what it means.
Right.
But ultimately, all that matters to us is that you fucking do this thing. Or to the Russians, all that matters to us is that they can't do it. We don't give a fuck about any of this other shit.
Right.
And
what have you done for me lately?
You have to sell it.
Yeah.
Because you bought it. You've got to sell it.
Yeah. It's an MLM.
You were sold a Bella
goods.
Just
like the Jell-O.
It's a Fonzie scheme.
It's Invigoron. It's a Fonzie scheme. Fonzie scheme.
All right, The Shape of Water.
It is. It's hard to see The Shape of Water because it's so
takes
amorphous.
The form of, you know, whatever it's around.
You silly monkeys. So at the end of the show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Hi.
I'd break into a government facility and rescue any one of these people.
But would you sit through a musical with them?
She wouldn't.
Sorry.
Amy, how do you feel about the new Charlie's Angels? Are you excited?
I'll see it. I'm not excited.
Well, you love Charlie's Angels.
I did like those movies, yes.
You don't feel like this will
be... It wasn't because I loved Charlie's Angels.
But I feel like this is like more of that.
I'm in, yeah. I love more of that.
I didn't think you loved Charlie's Angels because you love the mythology of Charlie's Angels.
Who's
I just meant...
In it. It there's somebody...
Kristen Stewart.
No, not the lady.
Stewart.
It was the Charlie or the...
Well, Lucy. Elizabeth
Banks. Not the Charlie,
Elizabeth
but the...
Banks
Elizabeth Banks is Bosley.
Yes. Bosley. I like Elizabeth Banks.
She also just directing it, right?
I don't know.
I think. I could be wrong, but I'm becoming a Kristen Stewart fan.
But
because of what Gray told us.
Yes.
Mostly, but yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently she is just a super nice person.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to... I saw that trailer and I thought of you.
And I'm glad you did. Patrick Stewart is Bosley. That's why I was excited.
No. Elizabeth Stewart? Banks is Bosley.
Stewart?
Then why is in the credits it says Patrick Stewart, Bosley?
Oh, I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Because Elizabeth Banks in
Diamond
the trailer,
Honsu is also Bosley.
Because I was going to say in the...
There's a lot of Bosleys.
In the trailer she says I'm Bosley. Bosley.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's several Bosleys.
I think Bosley is the organization is what they're
Bosley
saying.
Bosley is a state of being.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick Stewart's in it and
Bosley.
I'm in because I love him. All right. Our Beelzebubs I also love. Some of you... More than Patrick Stewart. Some of you equally as much as Patrick Stewart.
You're a bunch of Bosleys.
Brandon and Emily.
Make it show.
Your stuff's on the way.
She did it, guys.
Put it in the mail Friday, bitch.
Your stuff is on the way.
Jimmy B.
Mm-hmm. You're on your way.
Jeff.
Jeff is on his way.
Mm-mm-mm. Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora.
Gucci
gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Yeah.
Amanda.
Two chains.
Yeah, girl.
Two chains. Yeah.
Ernest.
But I want to rap about brands we actually use. Ritz, 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 Ritz.
Ernest is a Ritz, 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 Ritz.
Yeah, I got veggie Ritz. They're the best.
Ooh, those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Tree and Alex.
What are we rapping about for Tree and Alex? What brands would you... Oh, Band-Aid brand.
Band-Aid brand. Band-Aid. Band-Aid.
Brandon Boone.
Brandon Boone. Squirt, squirt,
Boone,
squirt, squirt,
sauce.
Squirt.
Diet squirt.
Diet squirt. Oh,
it's better for your teeth and your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bill.
Hey, Bill.
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 Is from New York City.
Yeah. New York City?
There it is.
I've got a...
hamburger buns.
What?
Whole wheat hamburger buns, Kroger.
Oh.
I can't. I don't have any of these nice things like Versace.
Blake.
No Versace.
No Gucci's.
Blake.
Gucci.
Blake. I do have an iPad. iPad.
Marky Mark.
I want to rap about my sandals now. Off-brand sandals.
Were they from Walmart?
They're from Walmart.
And finally, our favey fave, Alice.
Oh, girl.
What's her favorite brand?
Of what?
Of anything. What if you were to, if you're
laundry detergent
wrap, what would her laundry detergent wrap be?
She likes things that got no scent because that is bad for your stuff.
Free and clear, baby.
And I don't know.
Seventh generation.
We use whatever we grab.
All right, what's her favorite brand of moisturizer?
Spunk.
I don't know.
Kelly likes saying spunk.
Spunk.
Socks?
I don't know.
God.
We're not brands.
If this was the newlywed
We're not brands people. We like
Gucci gang.
You're anti-brands.
We're anti-brand. We're more like...
You're off-brand.
That's right.
God damn it.
We hate branding.
Oh, you know what?
But not Brandon.
You have an Amazon stick though, right?
Oh yeah. Well, we're
can you gold plate it and hold it out and rap with it though?
We're happy-ish.
Like, be like, guess what we got?
Amazon.
I'm doing pretty good over here with my raps. I can afford an Amazon stick. I've got at least 3 or 4 channels on this thing.
Yeah, we
Gucci gang.
God. He is the least cool human being on this planet, and I love him for it.
I'm real late to the game with these rap songs.
Lots of things with these raps.
As cool as
they
ice.
Come too fast. There's so many new ones all the time.
Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, patreon.com/notlp.
Yeah.
Whorehound Weekend's coming up in a little less than a month.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis. So if you're interested in that, whorehoundweekend.com.
Yeah. Halloween's coming up.
Indeed.
Oh, are you excited?
Yeah.
I got to do backyard movie night soon.
Yeah.
I got to do it. It's getting nice.
Noise.
Yeah. I get a fastest projector. Gucci gang.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Go out and have a great day. We love you.
If you meet a fish person, have sex with them.
Yep. If you wanna.
It's good for that.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Donna.